Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Tuesday night. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Usually we're live streaming at this time, but Ole Miss has a rather important basketball game that starts at the exact same time that we're supposed to live stream. So figured I'd bring some recorded thoughts for you on Ole Miss's exclusion from the college football playoff. Not surprising whatsoever, but it did become official tonight. So we're going to talk about that on this recorded edition of the Rebel Report. Before we get into that, I want to invite you to do a couple of things. First, like the video, subscribe to the channel if you have not already, and also subscribe to the podcast. If you are watching for the first time and you have not subscribed to the Rebel Report, pour out your phone and your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear in this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report, specifically the live recorded podcast, but this as well is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. If you are in Mississippi and you are a small business owner and you need legal advice, or even if you don't need legal advice right now, that day may come, save this number, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. He also does personal injury as well. If you've been personally injured, do not waste another second. Call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm in Fulton, Mississippi today. But he can, again, he can service you anywhere. That's where he's located. But if you're in Mississippi and you've got small business legal advice that you need, or personal injury or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered for all of your legal advice, legal needs, when it comes to those things right there. So Ole Miss, ranked number 13, but real quick, I'll run through the poll. The committee released it at 6 o'clock tonight. Oregon 1, Texas 2, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5, Ohio State 6. So Ohio State barely falls after their second loss being a home loss to an unranked Michigan team. Tennessee 7, I would flip-flop those, but that's not what we're here to discuss tonight. SMU 8, Indiana 9, Boise State 10, Alabama 11, Miami 12, Ole Miss 13, South Carolina 14. So, because of the established precedent, or at least what we think is the established precedent, Ole Miss is eliminated from the college football playoff. There is no amount of chaos, at least according to the committee, there is no amount of chaos that can happen that will have Ole Miss jump from 13 into a spot in the college football playoff. Both Texas and Georgia will make the college football playoff regardless of result, if you believe the committee. Both Oregon and Penn State will make the college football playoff regardless of the result in the game. The winner of the Mountain West between Boise State and UNLV will make the playoff. The only real opportunity for true chaos is that of Clemson beating SMU, which would kind of blow this whole thing up and possibly eliminate Alabama. So, but those are the only two games. UNLV could come from behind and eliminate Boise State, dropping them off. So Alabama and Miami would move up two spots. And Clemson, SMU, same thing. Clemson could come from behind, get in the conference championship. SMU, if you believe the committee, will not fall out of the playoff spot that they currently hold. And so Miami would move up in that case. They said after the rankings were released that the teams that are done playing, that they are done being evaluated. Where they are is where that they will remain. So there is no possibility for a jump or a fall or a switch between teams that do not play games. The only thing that can impact these rankings after this weekend is the result of the games and the teams that played in said games. So being in the 13 spot, Ole Miss cannot, if you believe them, and you should, move up into the playoff, which, you know, multiple things can be true at once, right? Ole Miss does not deserve, quote-unquote, deserve to make the playoff. But also, either does South Carolina, and either does Miami, and either does Alabama. So I grow weary of the deserves thing, because Alabama lost to Vanderbilt and then got smoked by three touchdowns by Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. Miami doesn't have a single good win on their resume. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. South Carolina got beat by Ole Miss and Alabama, beat badly by Ole Miss and Alabama, who are currently ranked in front of them. So the deserved argument is not one that I subscribe to. 12 teams have to get into this thing. Who cares about deserved? It's about how you're trying to get to the 12th team and comparing their resumes, all of which will have warts, because of course a team that is ranked from 11 to 15 or whatever, of course there's going to be warts on their resumes. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is Ole Miss has nobody to blame but themselves. We can argue resume. In fact, I'm going to do that here in a second. But at the end of the day, the people most responsible for Ole Miss's exclusion in the playoff is Ole Miss. They had opportunities. They blew those opportunities. They had opportunities to beat a bad Kentucky team at home, and they did not take advantage of those opportunities. They could not get a stop on fourth down. They had a bad fumble going into the end zone, but driving in the second half against Kentucky. They had missed opportunities, a dropped touchdown pass, a missed field goal, another bad fumble against LSU, multiple dropped touchdown passes, a missed field goal against Florida, not scoring in the red zone against Florida. They had opportunities. They were not good enough. They did not capitalize, specifically offensively, to take advantage to make the playoff. All they had to do was go 1-2 against Kentucky, LSU, and Florida, and they failed to do so. They were all close, heartbreaking losses, but they are responsible for those losses. It is Ole Miss's fault that they did not make the playoff. As we've talked about before on the podcast and on the radio show, I think the Ole Miss offense in particular is broken. You had good enough performances from your defense on a weekly basis to be undefeated. Right now, it is the offense that failed this team. I think that there needs to be some level of change, whether it be schematic, play caller, personnel, recruiting strategy, assistance, whatever it is, maybe all of the above. It is the offense that failed them this year. And don't lose to Kentucky and you don't miss the playoffs. It's kind of that simple. That being said, though, we knew, or we should have known, everybody should have known, that if you had a situation where you had three SEC teams, Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, that have at least comparable resumes. Now, we've talked a lot about South Carolina, and for some reason, the media's push to have them jump two teams that beat them. It never made sense to me. I'm glad that there's at least some sanity on the committee that takes the head-to-head result between teams that have comparable resumes and gave that the most weight. That's what they should have done. I'm glad to see that they did that. That was appropriate, and that should have happened. There should have been no argument, and we spent days talking about it because national college football media people, for some reason, fell in love with South Carolina despite losing to the two teams ranked in front of them and argued for them to jump two teams that beat them with identical records. It never made any sense at all. But you knew that based on history and precedent, and I said this on Twitter, and I got very little pushback because it's the truth. And you guys know it, and everybody knows it. Everybody, being honest with themselves, knows that if Alabama had Ole Miss's resume, or if Alabama had South Carolina's exact resume, they still would be the 11 seed poised to make the playoff, and the other two would be on the outside looking in. Does that mean Ole Miss is absolved from not taking advantage of the aforementioned opportunities? And does that mean that Ole Miss is excused from losing to Kentucky? Of course not. It's a separate conversation. They're separate thoughts. They only have themselves to blame. But you know as good as me, Alabama was making this playoff. They were going to do it. And it happened last year, and everybody knew that it was going to go down this way. And if you flip the resumes, it still would have gone down this way. The Alabama brand does carry weight. And yes, they have a resume that is good compared to Miami, who they jumped. I think Alabama jumping Miami is apt. But the Alabama and Ole Miss resume, when you compare them, when you look at games versus common opponents and the average point, the margin of victory or defeat, with those opponents is real. I mean, there's a real debate to be had between Alabama's resume and Ole Miss's resume. Alabama did not lose to a bad Kentucky team. They lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma instead. Alabama loses by 3 touchdowns to Oklahoma. Ole Miss beats them by a couple of scores. Alabama beats Georgia by the thinnest of margins. Ole Miss beat them by 18. Alabama beat South Carolina by 2. Ole Miss beat them by 24. Alabama beat LSU soundly. Ole Miss got beat by LSU in overtime. So you look at all the games against common opponents, and you certainly can make a case for Ole Miss. And that case would have been made if the resumes were flipped. I think that that's something that really, when you look at it, and when you look at history of college football, and when you look at committee precedent, everybody should have known that Alabama was going to take that final playoff spot. Everybody should have known it. What I can't quite understand is how Alabama, with a comparable resume to Ole Miss and South Carolina, jumps Miami, but Miami stays in front of Ole Miss and South Carolina. What is it about Miami's resume that leads them to being behind Alabama but ahead of Ole Miss and South Carolina, for that matter? I need to hear a good, detailed counterargument for why Miami belongs in front of Ole Miss and South Carolina, but not Alabama. Miami, with their awful resume, they have all of the bad that exists from Ole Miss and South Carolina's resume, but none of the good. The committee's answer about strength of schedule last week, we've talked about that here and on the radio show, it was nonsensical. Teams should not be rewarded, which is what the committee chair said last week. Well, you can't control who you play. So essentially, they're getting rewarded for not having a good enough schedule. Who you play should matter. And what I think ultimately you're going to see, and rather quickly, is another change to the format. Because you look at the bracket and the way it's sitting right now, Boise State is going to get a bid and possibly a bye in this tournament. Arizona State and Iowa State, the winner of that game, could possibly get a bye in this tournament, but they are guaranteed a spot in this field. And when you compare what Boise State and Arizona State and Iowa State, and even SMU, who's playing better lately, but when you compare the path, Indiana, Notre Dame, when you compare the path that those teams had to go down versus Tennessee, for example, who sits at 10-2. Now, they're going to make it, but Tennessee or Alabama or Ole Miss or South Carolina, when you compare the paths that they had to take to get to the records that they got, and you treat all of the teams as if it is somehow equal, that is a really broken system. I like Boise State. I like Genty a lot. I think that it's a good, stable, solid program. They shouldn't just be handed this opportunity in the same way that they are currently. The Big 12 should not just be handed an opportunity to get one of these two teams into the playoff. And my gosh, if Clemson wins the ACC could, I mean, they're going to be a two-bid league. And I mean, I guess there's a crazy offshoot possibility for them to be a three-bid league. Clemson at 9-3 with a blowout loss to Georgia and a home loss to South Carolina. And then Louisville as well beat them in their place. The three best teams they played beat them. They have no quality wins, but because they get to back in their way into a conference championship as a result of a weak league and get an automatic bid into this, that truly makes no sense at all. A change will come, and it should come soon. I love playoff scenarios. I love talking about it. I love what the 12-team playoff has done for college football. But there needs to be some rethinking about exactly how this process is handled and exactly who gets in and how they are able to get in. We'll have that debate most certainly this offseason, but again, Ole Miss really has nobody to blame but themselves with their exclusion in the playoff. National signing day is tomorrow. They got to go right back down to the drawing board and reload for 2025, possibly going to sign a top 15 class. We'll talk about that, of course, later on this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as you always do. I'll see you on the live stream on Thursday. Let me know what you think. Should Alabama have gotten the 11 seed? Should Miami be the 12? Should Ole Miss be the 13 and South Carolina the 14? Where did the committee get it right? Where did they get it wrong? I would love to hear from you. Let me know in the comments. Thank you guys for tuning in, though, and I'll talk to you on the live stream on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.